The Government Operations Appropriations Subcommittee will now come to order. Michelle, please call the roll.
Chairman Ingram.
Here.
Representatives Antone, Clark Reed, here. Danish,
here.
Harrell,
here.
Hood,
here.
Hudson,
here.
Nelson,
here.
Peters, Rangel,
here.
Renuart,
here.
Rodriguez,
here.
Torres.
Here.
Chairman, we have a quorum. Thank you.
Very good. A quorum being present, I want to welcome everyone to the Government Operations Appropriations Subcommittee. I want to remind you to silence your cell phones. And if you're a member of the public wishing to address the subcommittee, please fill out an appearance form and give it to the committee administrative assistant, and we'll know your interest in addressing the subcommittee. Members, this afternoon we have two member bills, followed by our budget presentation of our recommendations. And then following that, we'll take up two conforming bills, so I want to make sure everyone's here to vote for those. I want to let you know that those will be taken up after the budget presentation. We'll move right into our budgets. First up will be CS for HB 785, Workers' Compensation, by Representative Albritton. Representative Albritton, welcome, and you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate the opportunity to present the bill here in committee. Members, this bill would effectively create a retrospective rate plan process for workers' compensation here in the state of Florida. We are one of the few states left in the country that are not allowing this process. It allows the insurer and the insured to negotiate retrospectively on what workers' compensation premiums will be going forward. What I mean by that is that, let's say that Representative Hudson and I, you're a carrier and I am a company. If I went to you and wanted to use a plan like this, then I would negotiate with you a minimum premium, a maximum premium, and then I would go through the year and operate, and whatever my actual losses are at that point, we'll go back in. If it's somewhere in between that, I write you a check, we're square, and then we go do the same thing. The point, the reason it's important is because it incentivizes companies to be better, to have a better safety record. It incentivizes them because they have the ability to say, you know, if I can get a little bit better on my safety, then I can lower my premium. You don't just get locked in based on where you've been, if that makes any sense. Secondly, a couple of thresholds to be able to do this. You have to be doing business in more than one state, $1 million aggregate premium cumulatively in those states, and a $175,000 premium in Florida. This is in the omnibus bill this year, last year. You know, it passed last year without any problems. So I'd stand for any questions, sir.
Very good. Any questions of the bill sponsor? Representative Harrell, you're recognized for a question.
Yes, thank you very much. I think it's a wonderful tool to be available to everyone, all companies, whether they have an out-of-state part of the company or not. Why are you limiting it to only people who have out-of-state businesses and not allowing in-state businesses who meet the same financial thresholds?
Well, what's happening is that we're thinking about our business climate here in the state, okay? And the reason that it's multi-state is solving a specific challenge. And what that is that companies that do business in more than one state, they are allowed to utilize this, but that process in their company doesn't translocate in Florida, right? So if you did business in Florida, Georgia, Alabama, South Carolina, they all did it, then you'd have to have a separate process for here. The $1 million, really, if you're asking why we want to do the process, that's why, right, for multi-states. We want this to be seamless in these companies. Second of all, we want the competitive forces for lower safety. And then third, the $1 million is kind of sticking our toe in the water.
Follow up. If my company is, maybe you didn't understand my question and I didn't phrase it correctly. If my company is only located in Florida, and I'm doing $1 million in business, or the workers' comp premium would be at least $175,000, and my annual compensation premium, is my annual compensation premium $175,000 and the annual estimated countrywide? If I don't have the countrywide, if I'm just in Florida, my company is solely owned, located in Florida. Can I take advantage of this?
Representative?
No, ma'am, you cannot. Not a smaller company cannot do that. And we need to remember this, too, just as a comment. I didn't bring this up in my formal presentation. But this is very complex. I simplified the way the process happens, but it's very, very complex. And most small companies, most even medium-sized companies, do not have the skill sets within their operations to make this kind of stuff work. And remember, I in my heart hear what you're saying and believe that is the right thing to do. However, what I don't want to do is disrupt the system so dramatically that we have chaos in the carrier business. What I'd like to be able to do with this bill is stick our toe in the water. Let's run it for a year or two or three, and let's see how the system is working. Let's see how companies, insurers, and insureds are benefiting. And then if that is the case, then I would love to come back once we're proven that we can handle it, measure it, understand it, and do it well to lower those thresholds.
Thank you. And one little comment.
You recognize?
If a company had at least the $1 million threshold of a compensation package that they had to, the premium would be, at some point, then are you saying that once we get a little bit of a track record, you would set the same threshold, say, in the state of Florida? Because there are companies who are solely located in Florida who have that kind of, that clout and that magnitude that would meet those requirements.
Well, I would say this. I would be open to looking at more flexibility and more opportunity for businesses here in the state of Florida. Without a doubt, without question, yes. Yes, ma'am.
Good. Further questions? Representative Rangel, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, my question, I'm looking at the actual page 3, or under paragraph C, where it's talking about the direct impact on the private sector. My question is, how does this affect when it says, in certain circumstances, negotiations could lead to a premium that is not sufficient to cover the expected losses or expenses? How is that something good, I guess?
Representative Albritton?
I'm not sure there would be, quite frankly. That isn't my understanding of the way this process will work. When you set a floor, you set, now granted, if you set a floor and a ceiling, think about this. If you set a floor or a ceiling based on your performance in the past, okay, but you're not having to write a check till the end of the year, there is the possibility that something could go catastrophically wrong. I guess really I'm almost being hypothetical, but you could have a loss so great that it exceeds the maximum threshold that you negotiated. But here's what I will also tell you. Insurance is about risk management, and at the end of the day, if these large insurers and these carriers are willing to sign the bottom line to say that we will agree to these thresholds, these opportunities for both of our companies, and one loses, that's the free market. That's capitalism. That's them taking a risk. And if that corporation loses or the carrier loses, it's just as likely as one of them will win. So,
follow up.
Remember, this doesn't go to people. Sorry. This is companies.
Correct. No, I totally understand. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, in that case, what would happen, you know, if something does occur where the expenses are higher? What is to say that the insurer or the person trying to get the insurance does not actually pay? What is the penalty at that point?
Representative?
I don't know the answer to that question. That's the first time it's been asked. Very good question. Chair Nelson.
Representative Nelson, if you'd like to add some color, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chairman. If the premium's not paid by the insured, they lose their workers' comp coverage, and then until they pay the back payments for workers' comp, they cannot get a workers' comp policy. So if, let's just say that they negotiate a deal and it goes above what their expected losses are and they owe another $100,000 on premium, they don't have the money to pay it, that they lose their workers' comp coverage immediately, and then they are no longer eligible for workers' comp until they pay the back workers' comp premium. So puts them out of business until they figure out a way to pay for it. So this is for sophisticated investors, and I mean sophisticated businesses and sophisticated, the big major national carriers. So that's pretty well, you know, mapped out, worked out as to how they do that.
Good. Further questions?
Thank you.
See no further questions. Anyone in the audience wishing to testify? Seeing none, is there debate on the bill? Hearing no debate, Representative Albritton, you're recognized to close.
Wave, Chair.
Having waved close, Michelle, please call the roll.
Representatives Antone?
Yes.
Clark Reed?
Yes.
Danish?
Yes.
Carroll?
Yes.
Hood?
Yes.
Hudson?
Yes.
Nelson?
Yes.
Peters?
Yes.
Rangel?
Yes.
Renuart?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Chairman Ingram?
Yes.
Bill passes.
Very good. And members, by your vote, House Bill 785 will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative. Next up, we'll take up CS for HB 623 by Representative Roberson, Money Service Businesses. Representative Roberson, welcome, and you're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for hearing the bill. House Bill 623 deals with money services businesses. Here in Florida, these businesses must comply with the Federal Bank Secrecy Act and the Florida Money Services Business Act, which is administered and enforced by the Florida Office of Financial Regulation, otherwise known as OFR. The bill cross-references several federal citations. It makes a deferred presentment transaction conducted by an unauthorized person void in the state. It gives OFR the authority to issue an emergency order to immediately suspend the license of a money services business if that business was charged with a crime under the or the control person was arrested for a crime regarding mostly federal anti-money laundering laws, crimes involving fraud, moral turpitude, or dishonest dealings, and basically the misappropriation of or withholding of funds unlawfully. It also creates a penalty for willingly and knowingly failing to enter the required information under the check cashing database, and that's the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Very good. Any questions, members? Seeing no questions, is there anyone in the audience wishing to testify? I have one appearance card. Joe Morris, Legislative Affairs Director, OFR. Wave and support. Very good. Any further public testimony? Seeing none, is there a debate on the bill? Seeing no debate, Representative Roberson, you're recognized to close.
Wave closed, Mr. Chairman.
Having wave closed, Michelle, please call the roll on the bill.
Representative Zantone?
Yes.
Clark Reed?
Yes.
Danish?
Yes.
Carroll?
Yes.
Hood?
Yes.
Hudson?
Yes.
Nelson?
Yes.
Peters?
Yes.
Rangel?
Yes.
Renuart?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Chairman Ingram?
Yes.
Bill passes.
Members, by your vote, CS for HB 623 will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative.
Thank you, members.
Now we'll move into the budget recommendations portion of the meeting. Members, I'm pleased to present my budget recommendations for fiscal year 2014-2015. The budget was developed using two major guiding principles. First, I was determined to make sure that we utilize the people's money wisely in the most efficient and cost-effective manner possible. Second, in determining the agency's budgets, I wanted to ensure that funding was made available for each agency to meet its statutory responsibility. By way of overview, the total budget is just over $1.9 billion, an increase of approximately 4.3% over current year when comparing the increase of our recurring funding over the base budget. I would also take time to thank the Speaker for the generous allocation, and we'll promise to use it wisely. Much of the increase is attributable to funding repairs and maintenance of our state buildings and also the dollars for the Florida Information Resource Network to ensure that our educational system is among the best in the nation in deploying IT capabilities in the classroom. Our budget is compromised of $298 million in general revenue and $1.6 billion in trust funds. The budget includes the funding for 11,379 positions. I've reduced 38 long-time vacant positions and recommend funding 44 new positions for a net increase of 6 positions committee-wide. Here are a few of the highlights of the budget. $37.3 million in non-recurring funding to repair and maintain our state buildings and facilities. The funding is provided in two departments. $33 million for the Department of Management Services to provide for repairs, maintenance, and cover all known life, health, and safety code correction issues that currently need our attention. My goal was to reduce as much of the possible $99 million backlog of repairs that we currently have. $805,000 for DMS to make repairs for the historic capital, and $3.5 million in Department of Financial Services for repairs and maintenance at the State Fire College and the State Arson Laboratory. an increase of $46 million for DMS to fund each school district's use of the Florida Information Resource Network, or FERN, and certain costs associated with its statewide implementation. Our funding will ensure compliance with the standard of 1 megabits per second of bandwidth per student, making Florida a leader in implementing classroom technology. Our funding increase will bring the total budget in DMS for FERN to $53.7 million. $2.2 million in DMS for enhancements to our state law enforcement radio system to address the 850 square miles in our state currently without mobile or portable handheld radio coverage. I'm committed to helping make the jobs of our state law enforcement officers as safe as possible. $6 million and 22 positions for the CFO in the Department of Financial Services to begin planning for the replacement of FLAIR, our state's financial accounting system. I've included over $1 million toward Lottery Secretary O'Connell's budget request. Secretary O'Connell is doing a great job at the lottery, and I'm pleased to help her continue the good work of transferring record amounts of funding to education. In the Department of Revenue, $23.5 million for fiscally constrained counties is included. $1.8 million for Florida International University to continue the enhancements to the public hurricane loss model and provide enhancements to the wall of wind. FIU, as we saw a few weeks ago when they presented to our subcommittee, is doing outstanding research, and I'm pleased to help continue this very valuable work going on in our state. $600,000 for the FSU Storm Risk Management Center, who will assign the task of examining our state buildings this next fiscal year to consider their storm worthiness. It is my goal to have the center work in cooperation with our Division of Risk Management and DFS. Updated storm worthiness information on our state buildings and facilities will be a benefit to include in risk management's claim system. $2 million for a voluntary wellness pilot program for state employees. My goal is to provide a wellness program that can help provide valuable health assistance and information to our state employees. In the Department of Business and Professional Regulation, $1.1 million to enhance the unlicensed activity program. The recommended funding will provide staff and program oversight that is currently lacking. $1.2 million for a transfer to Visit Florida to promote tourism within our state. I've also included $300,000 for DMS to contract out for the development of a transition plan that will include all the required substantive and cost information necessary to transfer all equipment located at the Northwood Shared Resource Center to the current location of the Southwood Shared Resource Center. DMS will work in conjunction with the SSRC and NSRC and their customer agencies in the development of this transition plan, with the expectation that the state will receive future cost savings by consolidating the data center equipment under one roof. With regard to reductions, I've included several reductions in the budget proposal related to contract savings, vacant positions, and excess budget wherever we could identify it. I've recommended the total reductions of $14.1 million and 38.25 positions. As I mentioned previously, all positions reductions are vacant. Reductions include a reduction of $3.5 million in the state utility payments based on energy efficiencies, a reduction of nearly $2.4 million in savings realized from real estate contract renegotiations. The reduction of 38.25 positions allows for a budget savings of $1.1 million. Nearly $200,000 in savings from office consolidations. This moves state functions into state-owned facilities. I did not recommend reducing or privatizing the state custodial staff for a number of state buildings as requested by DMS, as a few members of the subcommittee seemed very interested in that issue. At this time, I'm now going to ask for our staff to provide individual budget highlights and updates by agency. I'll call on each staff member, and then we'll have a pause for a moment to see if any members of the committee have questions. First up will be DBPR, and Bruce Topp will present that budget. And Bruce, if you're ready, you are recognized.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, members. In DBPR, $205,000 for law enforcement equipment and training in the Division of Alcoholic Beverage and Tobacco, $3 million for additional budget authority to pay construction recovery claims, $350,000 to increase the contract for compulsive and addictive gambling prevention contract, and reductions of approximately $500,000 related to lease savings, contract savings, and reductions offered to the department, and also replacement equipment at the racing lab at the University of Florida. And, Mr. Chairman, that completes the highlights of your Department of Business and Professional Regulation budget.
Thank you, Bruce. Now we'll move on to Department of Financial Services, including OIR and OFR, and Adam Keith will present that portion of the budget.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, members. Highlights of the Chairman's recommended budget for DFS, OIR, and OFR include $450,000 of non-recurring budget authority provided for the replacement of aging vehicles within the department's fleet that are in excess of 150,000 miles. This will allow for the approximate replacement of 18 additional vehicles over the department's base funding. $2.225 million of non-recurring budget authority is provided for year two of a two-year funding request for the replacement of the department's risk management information claims system. $575,000 of non-recurring budget authority is provided to the state fire marshal for an assistance to firefighter federal grant awarded by FEMA. This funding is provided to replace two fire trucks that were originally purchased in the 1980s, which are utilized by the for training at the State Fire College. $810,969 in budget authority and five full-time equivalent positions are provided to the Office of Financial Regulation for implementation and maintenance of a check cashing transaction database. This database is a result of House Bill 217 that was heard in this committee, voted on and passed by both chambers, and subsequently signed into law following the 2013-14 legislative session. The Chairman's recommended budget also includes a reduction of 17 vacant full-time equivalent positions and reductions to various funds within the department totaling $3.9 million, of which $3.3 million were offered in the department's fiscal year 2014-15 legislative budget request. Those are the highlights, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Adam. And then we'll move on to DMS, including the Division of Administrative Hearings, Public Employees Relations Commission, and the Commission on Human Relations. I beg your pardon, Adam, I skipped you. You were going to do the lottery first. I apologize. And you're recognized to present the lottery budget.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Lottery's highlights include $44,264 in budget authority to replace 22 fortune printers that are located in the Tallahassee headquarters and the lottery's nine district offices. These printers are beyond their useful life and provide a mission-critical function for the lottery headquarters and district office staff, as the printers validate instant tickets, terminal-based tickets, and promotional lottery tickets, in addition to issuing checks for the payment of winning tickets. $281,800 in non-recurring budget authority is provided for the upgrade of the lottery's storage area network. The upgrade of the SAN will provide the lottery with sufficient storage to back up critical business data necessary for the continuity of operations of the lottery. $118,500 in non-recurring budget authority is provided for the replacement of six Fantasy V draw machines that were originally purchased in 2002. The replacement of these machines will provide for continued operational reliability of these draw machines, which, of course, is an integral part of the lottery's goal to increase transfers to the Educational Enhancement Trust Fund. The chairman's budget also includes reductions to the lottery totaling $193,000 for efficiencies gained through the implementation of a mobile sales tool and department-wide document management system that were implemented in last year's budget. These reductions were also offered in the lottery's fiscal year 2014-15 legislative budget request. That is the highlights, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Adam. And now we'll move on to Denise Potman, and she'll present FERN and the School District Bandwidth Initiative. And you recognize Denise.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. By way of reviewing the chairman's recommendation for this part of DMS's budget, we thought it might be helpful if we went back to the diagram that you saw last week. It's shown up here on the screen. It is also attached as the last page of your budget recommendation document. When staff walks you through the DMS spreadsheet, you'll see that on row 163, there is a $46 million increase in budget authority for DMS's FERN district bandwidth support category. The diagram shows what this increase will support. On the left side of the diagram, it shows the four possible funding areas that would support a district's ability to provide the 1 meg of bandwidth per student. Two of these four areas involve the Department of Management Services. The first is the cost of the actual bandwidth. As it shows under that bandwidth title, kind of, for DMS to provide the bandwidth via the FERN network, it will cost approximately $36.8 million annually. You'll see an asterisk by this number, and that shows Representative Harold approximately the $25.3 million of this amount will be paid for via the federal E-rate dollars. Under the $36.8 million line is a line for $11.9 million, And this is for the next generation security bundle, which means it's providing content filtering and additional security offerings to ensure compliance with all of the federal and state security and privacy laws regarding the confidentiality of student data. So the total for the bandwidth is $48.7 million. The second area that is related to the Department of Management Services is the technology construction costs for district area networks. It's the one right below bandwidth. Remembering last week's presentation on the Florida broadband map and the areas of the state without broadband access, the $5.1 million shown on the diagram represents the special construction cost, primarily bringing fiber into the district area network to ensure school districts' ability to deliver Fern's high-capacity internet access. So going back up to the top of the diagram, you'll see that the total amount for the bandwidth and the special construction cost is $53.7 million, and deducting DMS's current budget authority for this category of $7.7 million, it brings the increase being recommended for fiscal 14-15 to $46 million. Mr. Chair, this is the explanation of this portion of DMS's budget.
Thank you, Denise. And now we'll move on to the remaining portions of DMS presented by Clay White.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Staying on this topic of district bandwidth support, the chairman recommends five new FTE positions and $527,000 in the Division of Telecommunications to support and monitor the deployment of the Florida Information Resource Network and submitting the federal E-rate reimbursement for all Fern users. The chairman also recommends $1.95 million for the Florida Mutual Aid buildout and $1.6 million for the Florida Interoperability Network. This funding will allow communications between disparate radio systems that cannot otherwise communicate with each other, which is critical for emergency personnel during hurricanes and other emergencies. There's also recommended four new FTE positions and $257,000 in the Commission on Human Relations. Three of these positions are investigators and one is a human resources consultant. The investigators will help address the Commission's backlog of cases and increase caseload. The HR consultant position will allow the Commission to have a human resources position on staff rather than having to rely on DMS to provide these services and supplementing with the OPS. The chairman recommends $151,000 in the Division of Retirement for the payment of special pensions, primarily for the National Guard and disabled judges. Those are the highlights for the Department of Management Services, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Clay. Now we'll move to the Northwood and Southwood Shared Resource Centers, and Adam Keith, once again, will present that portion of the budget.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Highlights for the Northwood and Southwood Shared Resource Center include $2.1 million in non-recurring general revenue funding for the Northwood and Southwood Shared Resource Centers to implement a short-term disaster recovery solution. In addition, for the NSRC, the chairman's recommended budget includes a reduction of three vacant FTE and a reduction of $2.5 million in budget authority that was offered in the NSRC fiscal year 2014-15 legislative budget request. For the SSRC, The chairman's recommended budget includes a reduction of 7.25 vacant FTE and a reduction of $2.7 million in budget authority based on projected billing cycle used to build the SSRC budget for the proposed fiscal year 2014-15 GAA. That is the recommendation, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Adam. And then we'll move to the Public Service Commission, and Clay White will present that portion of the budget.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The chairman recommends a reduction of 10 vacant FTE positions and $490,000 that have been vacant for over 120 days. The commission recommended this reduction in the legislative budget request. And the chairman also recommends $50,000 for the replacement of two motor vehicles. One vehicle has over 150,000 miles, and the other vehicle is inoperable due to an accident. That is the Public Service Commission, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Clay. And now we'll stay with you and do the Department of Revenue.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The chairman recommends $347,000 for the Department of Revenue to move from privately owned lease space to state-owned space in Orlando. By funding this issue, it will result in annual savings of $173,000. And similarly, the chairman recommends $812,000 for revenue to move from privately owned lease space to state-owned space in Fort Pierce. And this issue will result in annual savings of $166,000. The chairman also recommends $32.5 million in budget authority to distribute to the county clerks to address funding deficits per Chapter 2013-44 laws of Florida. This is just pass-through budget authority that is required due to taking the county clerks out of the budget. The chairman recommends $173,000 in funding for aerial photography for counties with a population fewer than 50,000. In fiscal year 2014-15, there are two counties with a population fewer than 50,000 that are scheduled to be photographed, and that is Glades and Okeechobee counties. Those are the highlights for the Department of Revenue, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Clay. Members, that completes the presentation of our budget recommendations for fiscal year 2014-2015. We'll now move to, well, I beg your pardon. Let's, if you have any questions on the presentation that we just did, let's take a few questions now if you have them. Representative Harrell, do you have a question?
I just have one question on Fern, and I'm so excited to see this happen. I can't tell you. I'm just delighted. Do we have an estimate, since we are now picking this up and going to be making it available, do we have any estimate on how much this is going to save school districts?
Denise, do you, is that something you have handy?
The estimate that we have is the amount that would be paid for by the federal E-rate dollars. So for each school district to be compliant with the 1 meg per student, the total cost is 36.8, of which 25.3 will be paid for by the federal E-rate dollars.
Very good. Representative Clark Reed, you're recognized for a question?
Yes. And from that same area, what about, do we know the amount of money that's being put in by other entities who have contracts in those areas and provide the bandwidth to the school districts?
Currently, Denise, is that something you can answer?
We do not at this time have information on the other e-rateable items that school districts purchase that includes potentially bandwidth. This just represents what the chairman is recommending to support the 1 meg.
Thank you.
Thank you. Further questions, members? Representative Peters, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question about the trust funds. Do we have a projection on how much revenue was projected to be in those trust funds this year?
I believe that was, yes. We can get that to you. If you don't mind, we'll email to you later.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I was also, if you could get to me later, now isn't necessary, but if you can get to me later, if there's increase and decreases comparative to last year to this year.
Very good. We'll get that
information. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Further questions, members? Representative Torres, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Fern, the technologically construction course for district area networks. Does this include, like, the towers, wireless towers for those areas?
Denise?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It could. What will be required of the department and the current holder of the FERN contract to do is to, which they've already started to do, an inventory of the facilities to determine what type of transport, whether it's fiber, whether it's towers, that are needed to ensure that at the district area network level, the additional amount of bandwidth coming in can be received by that district.
Okay. Thank you.
Very good. Further questions? Representative Hudson, you're recognized with a question.
Thank you, Chair. And I just want to kind of clarify maybe something you said earlier with the 38 vacant positions and 44 new positions that we're adding as a net difference of six positions. Can you clarify for me, were we funding anything in the 38 vacant positions?
Yeah, they're currently funded but unfilled, and so that's where savings come in.
Okay, so it's not going to be an additional 44. It's just going to be an additional six, as you mentioned. Okay, thank you.
Further questions? Seeing none, we'll move on. I'll turn the gavel over to Representative Harrell now, and we'll move on to our budget-conforming bills.
Thank you very much. You are now recognized, Representative Ingram, to present PCB GOAS 1403, surplus line revenues. We'll start with that one.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, this bill repeals Section 9 of Chapter 2009-70 Laws of Florida to provide for the continued distribution of 100% of the collected surplus lines tax revenues to the General Revenue Fund. Upon the sunset of current law, which is set to take place on July 1st, there would be a $31.3 million negative impact to the general revenue fund, as surplus lines tax revenues would be redirected and deposited into the Insurance Regulatory Trust Fund within the Department of Financial Services. Based on current law and the present forecast of revenues, the Insurance Regulatory Trust Fund will meet all of its financial obligations without proceeds from surplus lines tax revenues. The bill provides that all surplus lines tax revenues be distributed to the General Revenue Fund. The House bill, this bill conforms to the House of Representatives' proposed fiscal year 2014-2015 General Appropriations Act, which includes the $31.3 million in surplus lines tax revenues that this bill provides. And members, that is the bill.
Are there questions? Any questions on surplus lines? No? Do we have any public testimony? Is there debate? You are recognized to close.
Wave close, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Please call the roll.
Representatives Antone?
Yes.
Clark Reed?
Yes.
Danish?
Yes.
Harrell?
Yes.
Hood?
Yes.
Hudson?
Yes.
Nelson?
Yes.
Peters?
Yes.
Rangel?
Yes.
Renuart?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Chairman Ingram?
Yes.
Bill passes.
And by your members, by your vote, members, House Bill GOAS 1403 will be reported favorably. Representative Ingram, you are now recognized to present PCB GOAS 1404.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, last week we had presentations by the Department of Management Services and our staff on how DMS, through the FERN contract, has been working with the Department of Education and several of our school districts to provide the districts with broadband access to allow them to increase the use of technology in classroom teaching and learning. This bill amends the duties of the Department of Management Services and requires DMS to design, engineer, implement, manage, and operate the Florida Information Resource Network, or FERN. For those school districts utilizing FERN, the bill requires that DMS submit the appropriate federal forms to receive the Federal Universal Service Support Funds, commonly referred to as E-rate funds, which are available through the Schools and Libraries Program of the Universal Service Fund administered by the Universal Service Administrative Company. Based upon the Federal Communications Commission annual report that shows the contributions and disbursements by state of the revenue deposited into the Universal Service Fund, Florida gets back about half of what the state contributes. Under the provisions of this bill, in fiscal year 2014-2015, the state will get back $25.3 million of the $36.8 million price tag for buying 1 megabits per second of bandwidth per student, which is a return rate of approximately 69%. By having DMS provide for the statewide implementation of FERN, DMS will be responsible for submitting the request for federal E-rate reimbursement on behalf of school districts, which should help ensure that the state receives the full $25.3 million. The bill also requires DMS to develop and make publicly available on its website an interactive geographical information system map that will monitor the implementation status of FERN, which is the Florida broadband map that we saw demonstrated in our last committee meeting. This bill conforms to the House of Representatives' proposed fiscal year 2014-2015 General Appropriations Act, which includes $53.7 million to ensure school districts have adequate bandwidth connectivity for the implementation and usage of instructional technology and computer-based assessments. Members, that is the bill.
Are there questions, members? You recognized Representative Clark Reed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to know, does DMS get administration fees from the E-rate?
You recognized to answer?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, they will. We provided them the resources they need.
Follow up. Okay. And does Universal Service get a percentage of for administrative fees?
You recognized?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Clark Reed, I don't know that, but if you give me the benefit of the doubt, I'll find the answer out and send it to you.
Thank you. Those are my questions.
Further questions, members? Do we have any public testimony? No public testimony. Is there debate? Seeing no debate, you are recognized to close.
Wave close, Madam Chair.
Please call the roll. Representative Zantone?
Yes.
Clark Reed?
Yes, when I get the answer to my bill. My question.
Jill. Danish?
Yes.
Chair Harrell?
Yes.
Hood?
Yes.
Hudson?
Yes.
Nelson?
Yes.
Peters?
Yes.
Rangel?
Yes.
Renuart?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Chair Ingram?
Yes.
Bill passes, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And by your vote, members, PCB GOAS 1404 will be reported favorably and will pass the gavel back. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Harold, for your gracious offer to step in and help me present that bill. Members, thank you so much. It was a lot of input. A lot of you came to see me and staff to help put these recommendations together. I just wanted to say thank you. It means more than I can tell you. And staff, I know you spent countless hours getting these recommendations together, and it didn't go unnoticed, and I'm grateful, and I know the committee members are as well. So as we move forward, I know it's sort of the beginning and not the end, so we'll keep in touch and see each other often as we move toward conference. And, again, thank you for all of your hard work. It's much appreciated. And with that, no further business to come before the committee. Representative Hudson moves that we rise. With no objection, we are adjourned. Thank you.